be 40 people here, middle managers, a lot of us. Mostly Caucasian, mostly male, all oozing apathy. The group's meeting complexion is that of an agoraphobe. A Microsoft Excel spreadsheet is projected onto an oversized canvas pulled from the ceiling at the front of the room. The canvas is flimsy and cracked and is a shade of off-white that suggests it's a relic from a time when employees were allowed to smoke indoors. The rest of the room is aggressively white. The walls are white. The ceiling is white. The people are white, as if all cut from the same materials. Well, everyone except Stan, seated at the back of the room. Cincinnati's population is 45% black, but Stan is part of our company's single-digit percentage. His comments, rarely solicited by executives, are oft dismissed with a nod and a pained smile. Although he's the size of an NFL linebacker, Stan is a paragon of kindness. But that doesn't stop me from secretly hoping that one day he'll get fed up with the patronizing grins and make it his duty to reformat one of the boss's fish-eyed faces. You can't miss the enormous Broadspan logo on the wall behind us, a rapacious-looking, line-drawn eagle, soaring, its wings outstretched, clutching the company's side-by-side vowels in his talons. Right here, right now, our cult tagline is typeset below the logo in Helvetica bold. If you say right here, right now repeatedly, it begins to take on a sort of metaphysical edge, a profound truism the skinny tie guys in marketing didn't intend. We are currently landlocked in the middle of the 11th floor. This is the final Monday sales meeting of the year. Not a single beam of natural light can be seen from my vantage point. Seated between my boss and my boss's boss, both of whom have Irish surnames and are nearly indistinguishable from one another, the air stinks of industrial strength cleaning supplies and years of resentment. Every seat at the large Formica conference table is full, so a handful of latecomers are forced to stand, congregating toward the back of the room as if waiting to give confession. The table is littered with printed spreadsheets and half-empty Starbucks cups. Someone behind me yawns, which triggers several more yawns among the crowd. Boredom is contagious. The projected spreadsheet is out of focus, so we're all staring forward, squinting, attempting to find something meaningful in the blur. The projector emits a drone of white noise that everyone pretends to ignore. But I can't ignore it. How could you? That incessant hum controls the atmosphere around us, holding hostage all other sounds. The overhead lights are partially switched off. Everyone is baptized in half-light, a hideous fluorescent glow that makes us all appear vaguely ill. There's another yawn across the table, and then another. A man with pudgy red cheeks sniffs twice and then wipes his nose on his cuff. Ryan Nicodemus, my best friend of 20 years, the only man not wearing a tie, walks into the meeting wielding a massive coffee cup and a jutting jawline that carries an apologetic grin and a couple days' worth of dark stubble. He's swarthy and confident, and very late.
Hi. Sorry, there was traffic.
My boss, or is it his boss, asks a question I don't realize is directed at me until I hear my name. So how do you explain the decline in attach rates this week, Millie? Half my coworkers call me Millie, which seemed endearing half the time, and patronizing the other half, depending on the person and their cadence. I look to my right, and then my left. Both men are fixed on the glowing grid at the front of the room, their faces red with early onset rosacea, a condition that makes them appear perpetually angry or embarrassed or somehow both at the same time. The spreadsheet, dull and cloudy, is color-coded green and red, apropos since it's 3 days till Christmas. The color scheme is inadvertent, though. It's always the same every meeting, no matter the time of year. Green is good, red is bad. Red dominates the blur today. I look at the numbers and try to affect what I hope is a sufficiently displeased look, followed by one of my dozen or so standard laconic answers, some jargon about marketing spend and GRPs and TPRs, and a few other acronyms that are supposed to make me look like I have a well-informed grasp on the situation. Half the room nods sympathetically to the rhythm of my gnomic reasoning. The bosses seem pleased with my explanation. I pretend to jot a couple notes on my yellow legal pad, something quote-unquote actionable. Ryan, now standing at the side of the room, just shakes his head at my line of bullshit. The projector is still thrumming, becoming more and more pronounced with each passing moment.
I feel the urge to shout silence toward no one in particular, but there'd be too much irony in such a command.
The bosses move on to the next excuse, Baron. At age 27, I'm the youngest director in our company's 140-year history. For a while, I thought this was impressive. You know, an admirable title to throw around when someone asks, as we invariably do, that most pernicious of questions, what do you do? To which I could respond with an air of accomplished pride, I'm the director of operations for 150 retail stores. Fancy, right? Well, not exactly. You see, this is all pretty much one big accident. In more ways than one, my entire life has been an accident, so it's difficult to figure out exactly